Our Father and our God, we love and praise you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us, Lord, and your loving kindness, your riches that are new toward every day. As we enter in today, we come with a sacrifice of praise and a grateful heart, Lord, just to thank you for all that you have done. We give you glory and praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Today we declare as Amana is that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that that light will shine into our hearts and in around us and from the inside of us even to all that is around us. And let understanding come even into our hearts today. We give you a lot of praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the series that we just concluded, I was meditating on some parts of it again, and I thought, you know, we need to talk some more about his glory and his presence. So today I'm just going to talk some more about the glory of the Lord and his presence. It's a subject that we can just stay on for days, maybe even weeks. And we want to just review that again and enjoy and soak in his presence and just elevate our minds. Elevate our spirit also into his presence. Jesus often told the people, and we've said it, or he told the people, and we've often mentioned it here, that, you know, it is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profits nothing. So we must enter in by the spirit. And let's see if we can explore some more about that presence and his glory, dwelling and walking in the presence and glory of God, or dwelling in his presence and walking in his glory. Now, that's what walking with God is actually all about. So let's review this again, because we cannot exhaust this subject matter. From the very beginning, God created heaven and earth together. I want to bring awareness again to, you know, the how heaven and earth, how they function together. We covered this before, and I want to cover it again today. You know, the awareness, because that's what dwelling in his presence is all about, and walking in his glory. The Lord said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Well, even from there, you see that, you know, the Lord is in both heaven and earth at the same time. You know, said, well, you know, I dwell in the heavens. I walk upon the earth. Praise the Lord. You know, so heaven and earth came into view. We understand that from even Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It wasn't just heaven, and it wasn't just the earth. It was heaven and earth. Heaven first, and of course, earth, and place man on the earth to colonize, and the earth, give him dominion, and to bring the earth into alignment with heaven. And all the way to the end, we see that God is still talking about heaven and earth together. Revelation 21 and verse 1. You know, see what's in God's mind. We started from heaven and earth from the beginning. And we're now almost clear on to the end of the Bible, and we're still talking about heaven and earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Glory to God. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me again, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's an incredible declaration to look forward to. And we see how heaven and earth working together always, you know, even from the beginning, even clown to the end. And we see that even this new Jerusalem called the Holy City and all of that. And Jesus one time, he said, look, I go to prepare a place for you, and when it's ready, I'll come. But, you know, if you look deeper, you see that the target of heaven is earth. You know, it looks like from our perspective, I mean, there's a lot of things happening in heaven, but, you know, focus is, you know, toward the earth. Even this new Jerusalem built, prepared in heaven, but coming down to the earth. I mean, why didn't it just stay in heaven? You know, so earth is just as important as heaven. But more importantly is when we recognize how the heaven or heavens work together with the earth. You know, God in the heavens, and we also upon the earth, and seated in heavenly places with him at the same time. It's a mystery. But, you know, that's what we want to talk about a little more today. In the book of Psalm 115, the Lord says that, look, the heaven of heavens belongs unto him, but he has given the earth unto the sons of men. Psalm 115 verse 16. The heaven and heavens. Most of the time when the Lord talks about heaven, there's also always a mention of earth right along with it. And we see even Jesus, in John chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he was talking to Nicodemus. He explained the new birth, and then he went on to say, no man, see, has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. But before that, verse 12 says, if I have told you of earthly things, and you don't understand, well, how will you figure it out if I tell you of heavenly things? Again, you see, he's still mentioning both heaven and earth, always talking about it together. Heaven and earth, always working together. I want that to just soak in for a few minutes, because the understanding of that is critical for us to know what it means to walk in the glory of God and to dwell in His presence. It is important for us to understand that. Jesus said, if I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And as if he was about to say, well, here's one heavenly thing. You figure that out. No man, he said, has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So again, Jesus bringing together the conjunction of heaven and earth here and showing us that he, while on earth, is also in heaven. Praise the Lord. And does not the scripture say the same thing about us? I mean, how can we be on the earth and also be in heaven at the same time? Well, let's take a look. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together. Make means made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and he has raised us up. Now, not that he will raise us up. Let's read it. He has raised us up together. Now, we know that Christ is raised up, and he's saying that we are raised up together. Well, if Christ is the head and we are the body, then where he is where we are. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, we know that we're actually here on earth, but yet, you know, scripture says that we are in heavenly places already. And that's what it means and what it's all about for us to dwell in his presence, walk in his glory. We got to be cognizant of that. Practice the presence of the Lord all the time. You know, be cognizant of it. You know, so, and, you know, Jesus taught it, the apostles, and the scriptures everywhere, you know, tell us about it. You know, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, powerful statement. Ephesians 1 and 10 tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God will gather together in one all things in Christ. Notice, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I mean, always in every place when heaven is mentioned, earth is right there alongside, walking together, you know. So once we recognize and understand that, it'll be a little easier for us to understand what it means to dwell in his presence and walk in his glory. You know, these are the truths of the scriptures. There's so many scriptures that teach these things. And I want to call out some of these things again to us. A powerful verse in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 8. Even in bringing salvation to men, we are told that heaven and earth must walk together to do it. You know, you can't do it by yourself. Heaven needs us to do it, and we need heaven. The part that we must play is share the gospel. And there's a part that heaven must play in, getting it to happen and bringing this wonderful creation in the life of people. Let's read how Isaiah 45 and verse 8 says it. I love this verse. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Now, if heaven, the influence of heaven is what we're talking about here in this verse. if heaven does not do its role in influencing the earth and heaven is just there, then we gain nothing from heaven. But it says heaven should drop down. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Now that's heaven's part. What about the earth's part? Well, let the earth open up. And let them bring them as together, heaven and earth. Let them bring forth salvation together, walking together. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. This is the pattern of the beauty that God puts together for heaven and earth together. God is in heaven. We are on earth right now, but we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ. Yeah, because if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you are no longer in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. So there is a part of us that's, you know, flesh. And that part, Jesus said, well, he that is born of flesh is flesh. But when you are born again in the Spirit, the triune man is still there functioning together. And so you have your spirit man as well. That spirit man is connected with God as one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's right. So if you are one spirit with him, well, where he is then, in the Spirit, is where we are. Now, you know, trying to connect with God in the flesh only is not going to work. We must connect in the Spirit. Jesus said it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, tells us that as well. He said, look, the time of trying to do things in the flesh, or even trying to know the Lord in the flesh, or even trying to serve the Lord in the flesh only, say that time has passed. Just like the scripture says, the times of ignorance God had winked at, but now commands everyone. So let's put it this way. The times of doing things in the flesh, God winked at, but now commands every one of us to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, henceforth know we no man anymore after the flesh. We're not doing things after the flesh anymore. Yea, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, many of us, that is the level, or has been before, the level of our connection with Christ is in the flesh. We're still trying to figure out how to connect with him in the Spirit. He said, well, not anymore. We can't know him like that anymore. Henceforth know we him no more in the flesh. We got to move on. Therefore, if you are in Christ now, he says, well, you're a new creature. You know, old things are passed away, the things of the flesh, and all things have become new. Praise the Lord. You know, so once we understand these things, well, you see why Jesus was, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, he also brought together the concept of heaven and earth. This is how Jesus said it. He said, in your prayer, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Well, we know he's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come to where? The earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Again, Jesus is making the connection between heaven and earth. Always making the connection. There are some things that are already, some ordinances are already established in the heavens. And it is the responsibility, you know, of the sons of God, agents of change, to make the earth become like heaven, starting with us, ourselves. You know, we start with ourselves looking more and functioning more like heaven rather than just in the flesh. And the Lord asked Job this question in Job chapter 38 and verse 33. Powerful question, you know, that again connects the pieces for us that we're talking about here. Do you know, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof on the earth? That's how it is. That's how it works. In order for Adam to have this dominion over the earth, he has to understand the ordinances of heaven. And he did, because God put knowledge and understanding upon him, just deposited it upon him like that. And he had it. He understood it. Now, you step away from that, though, you'll be going about trying to bring the things on the earth into dominion, and it will not work. You can try it all day long. It's not going to work, because it is the ordinances of heaven that can bring the earth into alignment. That's right. And if we understand the ordinances of heaven, then we can bring the dominion upon the earth. Things start in heaven. We ourselves, like we said in the series we just concluded, made in heaven and assembled upon the earth. Before the world began, he knew us. And later on, we came forth through our parents or whatever. You know, so, but if you understand the ordinances of heaven, set dominion upon the earth. I'm trying to bring the connection between heaven and earth all the time, so that we don't see ourselves as disjoint. God's over there. We are over here. We are here and he's over there. You know, no, you know, Jesus said, I in them, in his prayer in John chapter 17, said that they may be one in us. I in them, they in me, and you, I mean, and I in you, and all these things. I mean, just one. This was what Jesus prayed about. And this is what he wanted. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in me, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Hallelujah. You can read that in John, you know, chapter 17, verses 21 to 23. As you have sent me, Jesus said, even so have I sent them. And the glory, you know, that you have given me, I've given unto them, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. You know, not separated, not he's over there, and we're over here. No, one in him, that the world may believe that thou hast sent us. And the glory which I have, you know, which thou gave me, and this is how we walk in his glory, connecting the pieces now, the glory that you gave me, I have given to them. Not that I will give to them. I have given it to them, you know, for the purpose that they may be one. Glory to God. One heaven and earth together. One with the Father, just like Jesus was one with the Father. One with the Spirit of God. He that is joined to God is one spirit. One. Made perfect in one. So this is how the world is going to believe that you have sent me. Because now you know, those who carry his glory, carriers of his glory, are representing and pointing to the hour. When the Spirit of God comes, Jesus said, he will testify of me, and testify of yourself. We're not preaching ourselves, always testifying of Christ. You know, and when they see these great things, they say, by what authority do you do these things? And find out that we're doing it in the name of Jesus. That's what Paul said. I mean, sorry, Peter, you know, when they, after healing that, you know, man at the gate, you know, such as I have, I give unto thee. And then when everybody came running around, say, well, don't think that by our own power we did this. No. But the name of Jesus Christ, through faith in his name, has given this man perfect soundness before you all. That's how you do it. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. Give testimony of Christ. He shall testify of me when he comes. And Jesus said, well, that they may be one. And this oneness, it starts by us understanding the connection between heaven and earth. You know, let us stop thinking that, you know, God is in heaven and we are in the earth. And there's this great big gulf fixed between us. You know, now, the scripture teaches us something beyond that now. Where he is where we are. That's right. And even Jesus, that's what he prayed. Father, I will that they also that thou hast given me. Praise the Lord. Read it for yourself. John chapter 17, verse 24. I pray that those who are you giving me be with me where I am. Praise God. That they may behold my glory and walk in my glory, if I may say, you know, and which thou hast given me. Know that you gave me to me. You loved me before the foundation of the world. Just like the Father loved you before the foundation of the world. For he had chosen us in him, in the beloved, before the world began. According to the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 1. So, there you have it. Behold my glory. And what we see and adore in him is what we can reflect. And what we can have. When they behold my glory, Jesus said, this glory will also shine in them and out of them. You know, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. It's like now you got something on the inside of you that's going to bring influence to everything around you. Huh? That's what rivers of living water do. You got to bring influence. It's not enough to be contained. You know, you can't contain this thing inside of you. You know, it's got to come out from the inside to everything around you. But first, you have to understand that you've got on the inside. You know, you've got to know what you have on the inside. This is what we don't know many times. This is why we are always looking for somebody else to impart something to you, which you already have. You already have. You just have to activate. Paul said to Timothy, stir up that what's already in you. Well, we have to activate it. Now, the laying on of hands, the preaching of the gospel, and the teaching of the word of God like I'm doing now should ignite something in you. But it's already in you. It just needs to be ignited, you know. Praise the Lord. Listen to this in Ezekiel chapter 47, you know. And these waters that he saw, that the Lord brought him through, first was at the ankle level, and then as he went deeper, went to the knee level. At first, he was actually even outside the brink of the river, just barely touching his feet. When he went in, got to the ankle, went further, got to the knees, got further, went to the hips, went further, went to the shoulder, went further, was over his head. And he describes these waters, I said, these waters issued out to the east country, verse 8 of Ezekiel 47. And when these waters went, you know, said, wherever it went, you know, the waters are healed, and it also brings healing. First, the waters themselves are healed, and then they bring healing to everything that they touch. Shall come to pass that every living thing which moveth wheresoever these rivers shall come shall live. That's the influence, you know. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. That's salvation. I will make you fishers of men, because these waters shall come thither. These waters are coming from outside of you. John 7:37. Going out, you know, to things around you, bringing the influence of heaven to what's around you. You know, it shall come to pass that everywhere, you know, the fish, the waters, everything, they shall be healed, and everything shall live whithersoever the river shall come. Glory to God. And it shall come to pass that the fishers, that's right, that's what this whole thing is all about, you know, raise up fishermen. You know, but they are fishing in a different way now. You know, it's the glory of God inside of them, you know, shining from light from within. That's going to draw. He said, the Gentiles shall come to the light, the kings to the brightness of that rising. Glory to God. There's something inside of you that's emanating now, that's radiating now, that's drawing. you know, but, you know, those who love darkness, they won't come, because their deeds are evil. See, they will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But there are those who are trapped. See, they are children of the kingdom, but they are still trapped in darkness. And they don't know who they are. See, but they are trapped. Those who come, glory to God, and they see your light, you know, they will come. The darkness cannot come. But those who are part of the light, but trapped in the darkness, they will come. They will come. Their eyes will be opened. God told Saul, he said, look, you know, to, in order for you to deliver the people, their eyes must be opened. Then you bring them out of darkness into light. Then they will understand the inheritance that's among the saints, and they'll come to be a part of that. Glory to God. And so this, it is so important for us to know that we are not just here in isolation. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will come to you. That's right. As a comforter, as Holy Spirit, I'm bringing. He will be with you forever. And just like Jesus understood that he was in heaven and earth at the same time, well, we will begin to understand that. Here's another powerful statement that Jesus made in Matthew 28:18. All power in heaven and on earth, always bringing heaven and earth together. All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me, Jesus said. Well, and because of that, he said, well, you go and do the same. Do things. Praise the Lord. Heaven and earth, just like Jesus, will walk in us as well. Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, look, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, plural now. He said something singular to Peter in Matthew 16. I will give you, Peter. Well, but then in Matthew 18, he pluralized it. He said, whatsoever ye shall bind, all of you, I'm talking to his disciples, whatever ye shall bind in earth, on earth shall be bound in heaven. See, again, heaven and earth still walking together. You know, all things in heaven and in earth subject to Christ, bow the knee to him. You know, it's always heaven and earth. Listen to this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. A powerful statement of how God elevated Christ because of his obedience, and had given him a name, that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, both of things in heaven and things in the earth. Things under the earth, everywhere else. Heaven and earth always together. Glory to God. And the power that Jesus has, the name of Jesus, can control things in heaven, also control things upon the earth. Glory to God. You know, and so while we are on the earth, we must recognize that we are functioning not just as peasants upon the earth. You are seated in heavenly places. Glory to God. And it takes time for us. It's like you're peeling, you know, you're peeling the covers off. And take the onions, you peel the cover, you peel some off, peel some more. I mean, these things, we're peeling these things off, you know, for us to understand it piece by piece. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, preset upon preset. You know, we haven't come to a full understanding, but as we are understanding it little by little, Paul said, you know, to whatever level we have attained. So I don't say I've already attained everything, but to whichever level I've attained, I walk by the same rule. I keep pressing forward. There's more to figure out. Praise the Lord. But if you can function in the knowledge of what God has already revealed, it's game over for the devil. It's like we're told, science tells us that the majority of people can only use a very, very tiny, tiny fraction of their brain. Some people who can use maybe 10 or 15% of their brain, they're called geniuses. Rest of us can lose, you know, a very tiny piece of our brain. You know, yeah, it's the same thing. If you can understand just a little bit more about these things that we are saying, the devil will be in trouble. The devil doesn't want us to understand these things. You know, so he pretends still as if he's got all this power, you know, but Jesus said, I've already stripped him. He said, I stripped him already. I saw Satan fall like lightning. And he went there and whooped him. Got the keys of hell and death. I mean, he said, look, I've given the power to you. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Luke 10 and 19. And I have power over all the power of the enemy. He already gave it to us. But we don't understand how it works. You know, so it's like the series we did about the keys of the kingdom of God. You got a bunch of keys, but you don't know how they work. Or you don't know which door, what key opens. Well, and Satan is quite pleased. As long as they don't figure it out, just carry the keys around. It's not going to do them any good. They don't know which door it opens. You know, but no, we are going to know. And we are knowing, yeah? Because you know, lack of knowledge is a terrible thing. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 talks about it. And people perish and they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not knowing what they already have, the things that are freely given them of God already, not knowing what they already have. Then they just, you know, the devil bamboos everybody because he doesn't want us to know. But we know. Glory to God. We know who we are because of whose we are. We belong to the Lord, and we know who we are because we are named by his name. Even Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 again brings heaven and earth together. It says whether they are in heaven or in the earth, all the families of God, some of them are in heaven already, some are on the earth. Huh? They are all named by the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Jesus is that place where heaven and earth meet. That's it. John 3 and 13. He's that place. You know, and he said, look, the glory of God in us shining more and more unto a perfect day. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth together, always. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. It said, for this cause from verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Whether they are in heaven, whether they are in earth, all together in Christ. Always heaven and earth together. We need to understand it. That's what dwelling in his presence, we know that he's in heaven, we can dwell there while we are on earth. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. Now, as Christ is in this world, so are we. You know, as Christ is, so are we in this world, rather. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Well, Christ said, I am in heaven and in earth at the same time. Well, so then we also are in heaven and two dimensions at the same time. Well, the earthly dimension is like a scale. You know, put the flesh and spirit on either side of the balance here. And the more we feed the flesh, the flesh has the upper hand. You starve the flesh, feed the spirit, and the spirit will have the upper hand. You know, so God wants us to be like Christ. He said that in Genesis 1:26. He said it in Romans 8:29. And Christ also declares it in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. I and the children that you have given me are for signs and wonders. Jesus taught us oneness, you know, with the Father. That's how we get there. It's this oneness that Jesus was teaching. That's what walking and dwelling in his presence and walking in his glory is all about. John chapter 14. Philip had asked a question about show us the Father and it'll be sufficient unto us. You're always talking to us about the Father and Father. Show us the Father already, he said. And John said, Jesus said, wow. This whole time that you have been with me, Philip, and yet you have not known me. Well, that sounds like many of us. You know, we don't really know the deep things of God. We don't know Jesus like that. But, you know, the knowledge of the Son of God is what brings us into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. But come into the knowledge of the Son of God. That's it. You got to know who he is in order for you to know who you are in him. If you don't know, the devil will continue to pull the wool over your eyes. So we need to know. And Jesus said, all this time, be hanging out with me and so forth, Philip, and yet you have not known me. Philip was not the only one that had that question. He was just the only one that voiced it out. You know, so, but Jesus, in his explanations, in answer to those, you know, that question, said, look, so you don't believe or understand that I am in the Father, the Father is in me. Why are you asking me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that? They may have believed it, but they didn't understand it. So he said, look, let me tell you something. He said, if you don't believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, then, you know, believe for the very work's sake. So verily, verily, I say unto you, well, what I'm doing now, he that believes in me will do even the same. And greater, because I go to the Father, so you have more time, you know, to do more. And then he went on to talk about, if you love me, keep my commandments and all that stuff. And here's what he said, you know, he said in verse 20, at that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's it. That's it right there. You know, at that day, such as now, you know, there is this conjunction of Father, the Son, and us. It's got to be all. He's in the Father. The Father is in us. We are in him. It's all, you know, one. Where he is where we are. There's no more separation. You know, we don't need to be thinking of this great big gulf that's between us and God. No. Jesus said on that day, what day? The day when you catch the revelation. In that day, you will figure out that, you know, I am in the Father You are in me, and I am in you. And that's it. Where he is where we are. Where you are is where he is. So as a matter of fact, you can walk into a room and you brought Jesus with you. Hallelujah. The other day I was saying, I said, look, why is it then that we don't understand that you carry Jesus with you and you have to call your pastor to come and dedicate your new house? You know, when you already have Jesus inside of you, you know, now you walk into that house. Do you know who's coming in that house? That's you. That's Jesus. You coming in that house. You don't need some pastor to come and pray over that house. You got the anointing. The anointing that abides in you is no lie. And let that which you have received from the beginning, let it abide in you. Don't let it slip out. You know, that's it. Don't let there be a leak. And there is a leak. Well, that's a problem. Plug the leak. You know, but if that anointing is in you, you can do exactly what you thought the pastor only could do. What makes the pastor any better than you? He's just a man that believes God. And if you believe God too, glory to God. Well, Stephen and Philip, they demonstrated that to us. Yeah. They said, look, we are the man. I will preach the gospel. You guys do this other stuff. Okay? They did that other stuff. And then they went and did the stuff. You know, then they went and did miracles among the people. One of them even went and converted a whole city. Glory to God. You know, because the same anointing was in them. Whether they are put to serve tables or not. Same anointing. Same anointing. It's Christ in you. That's it. And that's how we walk in his presence. We dwell in his presence. We walk in his glory. You are walking in the glory of God all the time. You are walking in power. Because you understand that you're carrying heaven. You know, you're carrying God's glory. You are bearers of God's glory. Well, that's heavy. Well, yeah, it's heavy because we are being walking in the flesh. That's why it's heavy. These things are not heavy at all. Normal things. Once you understand it, they are normal. But for us right now, it's heavy because, well, you know, we just haven't figured it out. Once you figure it out, you see that that's the new normal. The new normal is for you to be walking in the spirit all the time. All the time. That's the new normal. Jesus was like that all the time. You know, so why can't we be? You know, so, you know, to walk, to dwell in his presence, walk in his glory, we got to become one with him. We must want nothing else from him. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, you know, the way that we must live our lives. And if you live your life like this, you will actually lack nothing. You know, praise the Lord. Because he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That's always the connection there. You know, one in the other and the other in the other and together. Not separated. Not separated from Christ. You are in Christ and his words in you and the Spirit of God in you. One. Say, well, you ask whatever you will and it will be done. Because now you understand the ordinances of heaven. And you can bring their influence upon the earth. Glory to God. Yeah. And that's how the Father will be glorified in us. God wants to give you himself. And you must want him more than anything else that even God can give. And we have talked about this in previous lessons. Genesis 15 and 1. God made an offer to Abraham. It was a mind-blowing offer. But Abraham at the time did not understand it. I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. I myself, not that I will give you a great reward, but I myself, I am what I'm giving you. My goodness. So profound. If you can figure it out. But Abraham did not figure it out. at the time, you know, what was his response? It's the same problem that we have today. Our greatest hindrance, ladies and gentlemen, take note of this. Our greatest hindrance to dwelling in his presence, walking in his glory, functioning like him, you know, is our need consciousness. That's it. That's our greatest hindrance. When God said, I give you myself, Abraham said, but I don't have a child. You know, so that's the problem till today. And we need to elevate beyond that. You know, seek him for who he is, not what he can give you. Seek him to have him himself. Glory to God. Abraham said, well, I don't have a child. You know, and God said, a child, when I'm offering you myself, you're talking about a child. All right. Well, I'll give you that child, but you're going to have to bring that child to the altar. See, because God will have nothing after him. Thank God that Abraham finally figured it out that I cannot choose this boy above God. He figured it out. And God had to put him to the test. I offered you myself. You wanted this boy? Fine. You must bring him to the altar and kill him. God can make demands like that. And he did. And glory to God, Abraham figured it out. And look, I can't choose anything above God. I can't choose this boy. And God told him, your son, your only son, whom your heart loves. Well, it wasn't his only son, but that's the way Abraham was thinking. You know, he already had Ishmael at that time. You know, but Abraham was so wrapped up in this thing that he put that thing ahead of God. You anything like that is going to die. God to die. God put it on the flesh. I mean, put it on the altar. Praise God. And so that's it. That's our greatest hindrance. Now, our journey to the most holy place. When you get there, ladies and gentlemen, now I've been talking about this on and off at different times in this series. We also talked about, you know, this journey from, you know, the outer court to the most holy place. In the most holy place, there is no need for him. Ladies and gentlemen, concentration on him only. Yeah, I mean, we have our earthly needs and so forth, but, you know, it's like, look, those are just whatever it is. It's like Christ when he was here. There were times he was tired, there was times he was hungry, there was times he had to sleep and so forth. But he was never separated in the spirit. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you are going to be some kind of goofy something. I mean, you know, no, we still have a life in the, you know, in the flesh, so to speak, but we're not in the flesh. You know, we must eat, sleep, drink, go to work, do these things, but that's not our life, really. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. In him. Not in the world. Jesus said they are in the world, but not of this world. So in the most holy place, it's concentration on him. And how do you concentrate on him? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, when you see him as he is, he said, that's what makes you become like him. We shall be like him because we see him as he is. That's concentration. When all you see is Christ, and you don't see all the other needs around you, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me a son. When they said, no, I give you myself. Say, no, give me a son. Well, when you can get away from the give me, give me, give me, then you concentrate on him. Even time stops, you know, when you get to that most holy place. You lose concept of time. You just want to stay there. Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 and 4. When they saw the glory of the Christ, they said, look, let's just stay here Let's build some tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elias, and then we just hang out here. You know, you lose concept of time when you get there. When we attain that full concentration on him, we come into oneness with him. Now, in that state, ladies and gentlemen, there are no prayer points anymore. There's no prayer points. You know, you forget all about yourself. So forget all about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourselves. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourselves. Concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Let us worship him. Jesus Christ the Lord. In that place, there is no concept of any need. Now you have him. You don't need a son. You don't need a this. You don't need that. You have him now. Glory to God. Now, let me describe the difference between the holy place and the most holy place with respect to this thing that I'm talking about today. Now, we're just going a little deeper. These are concepts we've taught before. I'll just bring it all together a little deeper for us. In the holy place, God meets your needs. You know, because now Holy Spirit is teaching you how to believe and all of these things. Yeah? Showing you things to come. You're believing God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the menorah. You have access to this and this and this and this. You know. Now, that's the holy place. In the outer court, you know, at best, it's 30-fold. You can't get more than that. Because you don't even have the Holy Spirit yet. You're still a little bit outer, you know, on the outside. Once you get into that holy place, and there's a separation, big separation, a majority of the people are in the outer court. They don't think they are good enough. There is a veil between them and the other place. The veil says on this side, you're not good enough. Yeah. Seeing consciousness is what the meaning of you're not good enough. You're not good enough to enter here. Only a special class of people can enter here. You're not good enough. So they are all outside. They think they're not good enough. There is a veil. You say, well, you're not a Levite. You know, you're not a priest. You can't get in here. So they are veiled out. Their sin consciousness keeps them out. That's it. And those that go in there, well, now they've got the menorah, 7 golden candlesticks. They got the showbread. They got all these things and so forth. Holy Spirit is there now. They got it. Walking. But at best, it's still 60-fold. You can't get that 100-fold until you get to the most holy place. But, see, in that holy place, God meets your needs. Take note of this. But in the most holy place, God wants to meet with you. That's right. All this, give me that, give me this, give me, has stopped when you get to the most holy place. Now, he'll be doing all that for you in the holy place still. Because, I mean, you got the Holy Spirit now, your things are working, you're commanding, you're decreeing, you're doing all of these things, and it's working for you. All of that happens in the holy place. But still, the holy place itself is veiled from the most holy place. What's the veil? Need consciousness. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Well, and the Lord will be giving it to you because now you got the Holy Spirit. You know, so, but the difference really is between us and the unbelievers is that the same thing that the unbelievers are looking for is exactly what we are doing. We're just now using Holy Spirit to get those things. You know, now you got the Holy Spirit. Now you can pray in tongues. You can do all of these things. What are you praying in tongues all the time? Give me this. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. That's what we're praying all the time. So, same things that they are searching for. Now you're using Holy Spirit to get those things. Well, cool. That's holy place experience. You can't go beyond that. But when you get into the most holy place, you are not praying about your needs. You're not doing any of that stuff. God wants to meet with you. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 5. He said, there is a place that I have chosen to put my name there. There will I meet with you. That's the most holy place. He will meet with you there. He wants to meet with you. Huh? But you must concentrate on him. You can't bring, there's no prayer point in the most holy place, ladies and gentlemen. Many of us can't understand this thing I'm saying today because, you know, our life is full of prayer points. Everything is, Father, do this. And Jesus understands that and he will do it for you. But he said, look, your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. Why don't you focus on seeking him rather than seeking those things that his unbelievers are also seeking? That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. The same things that you're praying about all the time and pursuing all the time, that's what the unbelievers are doing. And as a matter of fact, they are getting those things. Because they are wiser in their own generation than the children of the kingdom. But in the kingdom, forget those things. You put your concentration on him. There's only one needful thing in that place. It's that I may know him. Glory to God. That's it. Mary chose that one needful thing in Luke chapter 10 verse 40. We see how you can even be in this earthly realm physically. But you can choose to be in a certain place. Mary chose to be in a certain place. Martha was consumed with some other stuff, which actually looked good because she was trying to serve Christ and his disciples who were guests in her home. That's a good thing. You know, I mean, the life of service, doing this, doing that. It's a good thing, you know, hospitable, you know. So, you know, and do all these things. The scripture says we should do that. That's a good thing. But something is better. What's better? Jesus said, well, your sister has chosen that one needful thing. Luke 10 and 42. And it will not be taken from her. So all these other things are not needful. Well, in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses was praying about this, show me your glory and all these things, there was one needful thing that was in Moses' heart. He said, if I have found grace, verse 13, in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Are you saying that, you know, you have not known God with all the power? Even as for show me thy glory. Are you saying that the parting of the Red Sea was not glory? Calling out lies and frogs and locusts and darkness upon the land, turning water into blood, all of those things were not glory? No. He wanted, there was something he wanted. Glory to God. Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory, Lord. Well, you know, you can only get it, you know, in that most holy place experience. We can carry that most holy place with us. It's not that you go in and out. You carry it with you. Where you are is where he is. That's right. You know, you are there all the time. Even though you have to sleep, eat, go to school, go to work, do this and that, you are still there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we can figure that out, well, that's dwelling in his presence and walking in his glory. You know, we must now know Christ in a new way. Like I said before, 2 Corinthians 5:16, that's it. You can't know him in the flesh. And knowing him in the spirit, even though you are physically here in the flesh, but you are in him in the spirit, you grow into him until the sin nature just falls off. That's it. Just falls off completely. Sin consciousness is gone. I spoke about that during the series. I said it's like a toddler that has now outgrown his need for trainer pants. He doesn't need that thing anymore. No matter how much water he drinks, he has grown out of that. See, he's grown out of it. Sin nature will grow out of it. He's just falling off. Walking in the spirit now. There's no place. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. There's no place for the devil or those childish things anymore. We've grown out of it. Now, God, who is rich in his mercy and his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in our sins. Glory to God. You know, what did he do? Well, he quickened us. You know, has quickened us. Not future, but right now. Made us to sit together, not future, right now. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4-6. This quickening power that we have lies in the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:11. The life also of Jesus being made manifest in our mortal body. We have this flesh, but inside this flesh, we carry the glory. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus showed it to them too. He went to Matthew 17, you know, and there was an unveiling. You know, there's this thing, this glory, this transfiguration that Christ showed them. It wasn't something that came upon Christ. No, it was something that was already inside of him and was revealed or transfigured, you know, just changed like that into light. It was there the whole time, covered up, you know, because he wanted it like that. And he showed it to them. And my goodness, let's just stay here. Ah, Jesus said, no, let's be going. We got some more stuff to do. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's it right there. The Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the quickening in us. Romans 8:11. You know, it's doing that quickening in us. Praise the Lord. Well, all these things may seem, you know, way out there. There is a generation, glory to God, that will catch this understanding. It's like Enoch was a type. The Bible called him the seventh from Adam. The seventh generation now, the seventh church age, or whatever you want to call it, they will get, some will catch this understanding. There's a seventh generation now that will also catch this revelation of dwelling and walking with God in his presence and in his glory. Hallelujah. Just like Enoch. In Genesis 5:21-24, he was the seventh from Adam, but he caught the revelation. Whereas Adam was waiting around to die, and the rest of them were waiting around to die, Enoch walked with God. Glory to God. And he saw, he pierced thousands of years. He saw the Christ. Glory to God. According to Jude 14, he saw Christ. I mean, he saw 10,000 of saints. He saw Christ coming in his glory. Well, how could he have done that? You know, probably have a couple of dozen people on the earth at that time. But yeah, he was walking with God and he saw Christ coming, 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Glory to God. He saw it. And that's what happens when you are in the spirit. God will show you something. It's beyond, you know, it's even beyond the prophetic realm. You know, it's the realm of the spirit, you know. It's beyond, or I should say, let me say, it's beyond the friend zone. Friend, you know, is where God tells us secrets. So, well, I mean, you're no longer servants. I call you friends now because I've told you some secrets. Well, friend zone, secret zone, where you know things from God. Well, Jesus said, you are friends. And what did Amos say about that? Well, he said, the Lord revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. You know, Amos 3:7. So, friend zone, prophet zone, they're all still friends. Secret zone, yeah, you know things. And this is what some people take advantage over you. They know some things, so they think they're better than you. And you think they're better than you because they know some things which you don't know. But no. Friend zone is only friend zone. There is a higher zone. It's called sons of God, one on one. You know, friend is still face to face. You know, your friend is here, you are looking at him, he's still face to face. It's not inside. Exodus 3:33-11 tells us that, you know, God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend, you know, well, face to face. But it was still face to face. But Jesus is saying, no, not face to face anymore. Face to face, you are still separated. I'm here, you're here. I may be 1 foot in your face. I may be 1 foot between us, but it's still between us. But now it's I in you and you in me and I in the Father. And together, one, I will come and make my abode with you. It's no longer face to face. It's no longer visitation. I said in another lesson, it's now habitation. You know, Jesus is not just going to visit with you and have an encounter anymore. That's face to face. That's your friend. Your friend comes to visit with you. They don't stay there. You know, that's after a couple of hours, they go. Because that's still a visit. Habitation is they live there, you know, with you, you know. So said, I will come and make my abode. That's habitation. That's different from just visitation. Praise God. Now, to get into that habitation, we must be 100% obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments. Every little thing that God has commanded, things that we think don't matter. Those are the things that matter the most. Because the little foxes are the things that spoil the vine, you know, and then that's how we're not going to get there. So put away all those little foxes. Put away concerning, you know, the former loss and conversations, the old man, malice, backbiting, unforgiveness, speaking evil, evil speaking, evil surmisings, pointing out the finger, you know, and all these things. Put those things away, saith the Lord. Come on in. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's how you do it. Is first, let me summarize what I've said here today. We must recognize that there is no need for us to continue to consider ourselves separated like that. You know, I spent first 30 minutes of this lesson proving from the scriptures that heaven and earth always work together, and they're even conjuncted. You know, so if he's in heaven or doesn't matter, wherever he is, you know, that's where we are. Wherever he goes, that's where we go. If he's there, we are there. If he's here, we are here. If we are here, he's there. If we are there, he's there. The same thing all the time. Praise the Lord. And there is a group, glory to God, that follow him wheresoever he goes. The book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 4. See, they follow the Lord wherever he goes. Wherever he is, he's there. Wherever we are, he's there. That's dwelling in his presence and walking in the light of his glory. When you dwell in his presence, walking in his glory is automatic. You know, supernatural things will not be so supernatural anymore. They will be natural. It'll be natural for you to function like Christ because you got him on the inside. I pray that the Lord will give us this understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us the understanding of how to function in the glory of God, recognizing that we are in your presence. And yes, that presence of the Lord sometimes will reveal to you areas that need to be cleansed. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, when he was in the presence of God, he said, oh my goodness, my eyes have seen the King. There's an area in my life that need to be cleansed. My lips are unclean. And I also dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Help me, Lord. And yes, the Lord helped him. And the Holy Ghost rebranded that tongue. Glory to God. That's what the presence of God will do to us. To make us see areas that need to be pressed into a more accurate reflection of Christ. That's right. The presence of God. Not for condemnation. No. You're looking in the mirror. You see the area that needs to be fixed. And you fix it. Praise God. Holy Spirit will help us. What we need to do is say, Lord, help me. I am a man of unclean lips. Help me. I'm a man of unclean heart. Whatever it is. Unclean eyes, unclean lips, unclean heart, unclean thoughts, unclean hands even. Who is the man that will ascend to the hill of the Almighty? Well, you got to have clean hands. You got to have a pure heart. Your eyes have to be single. Who is he that will dwell, among, everlasting bodies and dwell in fire and so forth? Well, he said, the man that's pure in his heart. Glory to God. So, Father, we pray that you will help us in these areas. We know that we have the glory of God with us. For Christ is the wisdom and power and the glory of God. And he's in us. And we return all the glory to you, Lord. Thine is the glory. Thine is the kingdom. And this glory you have given unto us. That we may be one in you. Even as you are in the Father in you, we in you, one together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heaven and earth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, let's say that this heaven and earth have met together. The Holy Spirit and the sons of God are together now bringing forth the acts of the Father in the sons. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.